So before we go into the next gate, just a couple general questions. We asked the audience, first of all, Amanda, the question of, does the audience generally use some type of neoadjuvant chemotherapy in patients with large but localized sarcomas? And the audience rarely or ever does that. We also asked them about neoadjuvant radiation therapy, and again, very uncommon. Again, what about neoadjuvant therapy, Amanda? Any situations where you might consider it?
Yeah, only rarely at our institution, given these patients are often very symptomatic. They may or may not be bleeding, and they can usually be surgically resected. And we know that for uterine sarcomas and any soft tissue sarcoma, that surgery is the cornerstone of treatment. But there's obviously exceptions to that rule. And so patients who are medically inoperable, you know, saddle embolus, recent MI, or have widely metastatic disease that we not deem to be resectable, you know, certainly one can consider neoadjuvant treatments in that setting.
So I was asking Brian, because we have another CME series going on right now on soft tissue sarcomas. And there, Brian, you see a fair amount of neoadjuvant chemotherapy, radiation therapy. Why is it that it's used in these extremity sarcomas, for example, and not, for example, this situation?
I think that there's an extremity literature that's actually quite extensive that shows that in the right patient population, you actually get clinical benefit. I think it's interesting, we do not have the same literature to support the use of either radiation or chemotherapy for retroperitoneal tumors, uterine or not. And so from that standpoint, the standard of care is very, very dependent on good surgeons.
So question from the audience, Amanda, in terms of neoadjuvant therapy in the patient to try to, you know, make the patient more easily operable, to downstage the patient. Any situations where that occurs in your practice, Amanda?
Are you talking about radiation or chemo?
Either one.
So not usually with radiation, but certainly in a patient who has widely disseminated disease, it's the consideration of our sarcoma center at my institution that if we can reduce that disease burden, it can render, in several cases, a patient more surgically amenable to resection.
Mario, you know, you hear, for example, sometimes with pancreatic cancer, they give neoadjuvant therapy to try to shrink it down, pull it away from the vessels. Any situations where that occurs with uterine sarcoma where really it would help to have tumor shrinkage prior to surgery?
Yeah, the problem, as Amanda alluded to, is that these patients tend to have pain, and the bigger they get, the more pain and bleeding they have. So your response rates are 30, maybe 40% if you look at gemdosi, but you don't get that response quick enough to manage the patient's symptoms. So we really rarely do we use any neoadjuvant approach, and we will proceed if it's totally pelvic disease to surgery to resect it. And again, these patients, when they get bigger, where this might even be an issue, their symptoms are very hard to manage while you await a potential response, which isn't as great as one would think.
So this case that you just presented, did this woman, has a pretty big tumor, did she have pain?
No, this was all
completely asymptomatic.
One of those weird things, she'll tell her friends every day now to get an ultrasound every day of their lives, of course, because of her experience, but that's not what we're trying to say here.
Right.